The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Hello, I am Avra Lewis with the North Carolina Reading Service, and for the next half hour, I will be reading to you from Essence Magazine. The first article is titled, Power from the Pulpit. Reverend Kiana Jones fights for the oppressed from her native East Atlanta to Palestine. Reverend Kiana Jones is an East Atlanta native, an ordained minister, an interfaith leader, a wife, and a mother. She is also a social justice activist and a community organizer at the forefront of Atlanta's movement against the city's plans to construct a multi-million dollar public safety training facility referred to as Cop City. Through preaching from the pulpit, protesting throughout her hometown, and speaking to the United Nations Human Rights Committee in Geneva, Switzerland, Reverend Jones has become a crucial voice in the pursuit of liberation. She also serves as a reminder of just how interconnected our collective freedom is. Jones, who is the active pastor in residence at Park Avenue Baptist Church and a member of Community Movement Builders, has created a life rooted in service. After moving to New Jersey at around age 20 and living there for about 20 years, she returned to Atlanta to be with family. While in New Jersey, she began her work as an activist, specifically in child care and education advocacy, witnessing the systemic racism embedded within the education system, unjust killings of Black people by police, and witnessing the growing presence of U.S. Immigration and Customs Enforcement, ICE, in her neighborhood, ignited her commitment to broader activism. Since returning to Atlanta, Jones has not only brought her experience to the social justice fights back home, she has also brought a lifelong love and care for the city and its inhabitants. "These are my people," she says. "This is where I'm from. My grandmother always taught me to fight and to stand up for people who don't have a voice. I grew up with a sense of, if you see something wrong, say something. I'm going to ring the alarm." That's precisely what Jones is doing. "For me, it's never been a question of where I stand on Cop City, because it's just wrong," she says. "It's oppressive. Even if people believe in law and order and believe that we need police, you don't need to build a massive facility that replaces 381 acres of forest land and a vital watershed in the heart of Southeast Atlanta, which is super Black. You don't need to continue to perpetuate these instances of environmental racism." The 381 acres of unincorporated land in Atlanta's DeKalb County is part of what is now known as the South River Forest. It was previously the site of the old Atlanta prison farm, which was once a slave plantation. Prior to that, it was the Willamette Forest of the Muscogee Creek people. The South River Forest is referred to as one of the four lungs of Atlanta, meaning we literally need those trees to breathe, says Jones. "Without those trees, what type of air are we breathing?" Having someone like Jones on the forefront of this movement combats the idea that Black people in the community support the facility, something Jones explains is not true. In the midst of the protests against Cop City, police have referred to those who are vocal against the project as outside agitators, pushing a narrative Jones describes as familiar. She recalls moments in history like the civil rights movement when those in power used this narrative to undermine organizers. They call Dr. King an outside agitator, she points out. When you think about the narrative that has been carefully crafted and that the mainstream media here in Atlanta continues to propel, all you see is white people from out of state, and that's exactly what they want to promote. She goes on to explain that the diversity of the Stop Cop City movement shouldn't be overlooked, as it's a reflection of the intersectionality of human rights issues at hand. Climate change is real, she says. There are people who came into this movement simply because they want to save the trees. They are thinking about the fact that trees are vital. In addition to absorbing mass amounts of pollution, trees keep flooding at bay. A tree canopy is important because it mitigates global warming. But for the children growing up in the area, Jones emphasizes that there is and will be a sustained and more immediate impact. The Atlanta Police Department's firing range, which has been in the area for years, influenced her decision to move to Decatur, a city close to Atlanta, in May 2023. I have a 9-year-old whom I homeschool, and the gunfire from the range was just too much for us, she explains. We had to move because it wasn't something that was really conducive to a good learning environment for him. The impact on children is something she wants more people to acknowledge. Those gunshots are loud at night, she says. Think about what that does to the psyche of a child as far as them feeling safe and secure. Although her work is very much grounded in her love for her hometown and its communities, her advocacy goes beyond city limits and national borders. She recognizes the connections between militarized policing from Atlanta to Gaza and the importance of solidarity among oppressed communities worldwide. The Georgia International Law Enforcement Exchange has a partnership with the Israeli military to train officers from here in the United States, she says. They have trained Georgia State University Police, Georgia State Patrol, and Atlanta Police. There are other police departments around the country that also train with Israeli Defense Forces. Palestine is important, she opines, because the U.S. imperialism that funds the Israeli military to attack Palestinians is the same U.S. imperialism that makes it possible for police to terrorize black neighborhoods here in the United States. Reflecting on all she does, Jones says her husband, Gerard, is an incredibly important part of her work. When we talk about finding our peace, my husband really is that for me, she states. Not only is he a great supporter, but he really is that place of refuge, and I wouldn't be able to do what I do without him. For people who want to get involved with local liberation efforts, Jones suggests a dual approach. Find out what you're passionate about, she says. What really speaks to you? What makes you say, I've got to do something about that? When you find it, find a community where people are organizing and they are active around that, because that's also where people are being taught. The next article is titled, Girls Getaway, A Beginner's Guide to Essence Festival of Culture. Coca-Cola, Zero Sugar, and Essence are back to celebrate the 30th birthday of Essence of Festival of Culture. And what better way to celebrate than with a getaway with the girls? That's right, baby. Grab your girls, pack your bags, and get ready for yet another unforgettable experience down in New Orleans. Expect a weekend of fun performances and quite a few surprises, such as guests, courtesy of our friends over at Coca-Cola Zero Sugar. Ready? Here's a checklist to make sure you and your girls are ready for the weekend of a lifetime. Tip number one, skip the heels and bring the flats because that NOLA heat does not play. Make sure you and the girls stay refreshed with Coca-Cola Zero Sugar amidst the walking, partying, and panels. Tip number two, foodies, enter the chat. If you're here for NOLA's delicious cuisine, enjoy our Essence Food and Wine experience and visit the Coca-Cola activation. Tip number three, don't forget your fan. That NOLA sun is nothing to play with. We want all the girlies feeling hydrated and cool amidst the festivities. Tip number four, stop by the Coca-Cola booth at the convention center to meet the cast of If Not For My Girls and check out surprise performances. Download the Essence app for full updates. Tip number five, if you are here for the music, you don't want to miss our 3-night evening concert series at the Superdome. Tickets are still available. Tip number six, get your Instagram worthy outfits ready because the girls are always dressed to impress for Essence Fest. From the hair, nails, makeup, and everything in between, be sure to tag us at Essence Fest so we can show you some love while you hit the streets of New Orleans. The next article is from Essence contributors, Okla Jones III. For more than a decade, this intrepid writer has tackled topics ranging from entertainment to fine art to food to travel. The New Orleans native's work can be found on Thrillist, Hip Hop DX, Yahoo, and OK Player. He is also the host of the Atlanta-based podcast, The Love Above, which focuses on African American art. The Essence contributing editor was super busy this month producing Micheline Thomas All About Love, detailing the artist's 20-year retrospective, The Triumphs of 85 South, on the Successful Media Group, and Russell Wilson, Faith, Family, and Football, about the NFL star's next act. Jordan Moss, this Brooklyn-based illustrator and graphic designer, has an eclectic background that spans everything from fine art to advertising. She loves getting the chance to design in all forms and mediums, and she is always excited to create in different spaces, from murals to print. Her impressive client roster includes Adidas, Target, Refinery 29, and Atlantic Records. Moss crafted the illustrations for our story on a sensitive topic, the silent stigma of Black male infertility. Elijah Watson, the former senior news and culture editor for OK Player and current copy editor at HuffPost, came up huge for this issue, penning Big Sean, the Superhero Dad, which shows the Detroit rapper in a new light. Watson has written for both outlets as The Fodder, The Daily Beast, and Complex, and his work has been included in books like The Best Damn Hip Hop Writing, 2018, When the Webby Award winner is not writing or editing, he's usually sleeping, watching video game explainer videos on YouTube, or making drum and bass remixes of sexy red songs. Adrian Raquel, a photographer and creative director working between New York and Los Angeles. Raquel is inspired by femininity, soulfulness, and color. Although rooted in nostalgia and fantasy, her work remains fresh and contemporary. This month, she has the enviable task of capturing our three cover kings, Usher Raymond, Damson Idris, and Russell Wilson. Raquel's creations have been featured in various exhibitions, including a Purture's New Black Vanguard, Photography Between Art and Fashion, Jeffrey Shattered Glass, and Micheline Thomas's Better Nights. Her first solo exhibition, Onyx, was on view at Fotografiska New York in 2021. The next article is a letter from the SVP, Here to Love, Serve, and Support Black Women. Coming at the tail end of an amazing awards season for Hollywood's most recognized individuals, our 17th annual Essence Black Women in Hollywood Awards celebrated four of our own: actress Danielle Brooks, singer and actress Haley Bailey, film executive Catherine Busby, and producer showrunner N.O. Carroll for their work as creatives in film and television. The event is a personal favorite in our annual calendar as its physical manifestation of the Essence mission to serve Black women deeply. The amount of love shared in the room was palpable, leaving one with a warm sensation in their core. Check out the recap in this issue with the inimitable Method Man as the afternoon's master of ceremonies. We continued with the tradition of making space also for the men in our community who celebrate Black women and give them their flowers. Lord knows they deserve so much more. Speaking of traditions, this issue marks both old and new ones for the brand. With our annual men's issue, we dedicate most of our pages to the men of our community who are pushing against the negative stereotypes that plague us today, while simultaneously pouring back into our lives with their inspiring work. This year, we decided to heat things up a bit with our three cover stars, Usher Raymond, Damson Idris, and Russell Wilson. What we know to be true with this lineup is that sexy is not a monolith. Whether it's the charm in Raymond that has had women locked in for the past three decades, the mischievous yet equally innocent good looks of Idris, or the strength and compassion of Wilson, what's consistent and equally sexy across all three gentlemen is their undeniable love and support for Black women. The amount of skin shown is just a plus. For our full list of the sexiest men of the moment, scan the QR code on page 56. On a less provocative but still compelling note, writer Elijah Watson talks with rapper Big Sean about the balancing act of fatherhood, his love for anime, and his upcoming projects. Sean's hometown and mine are less than an hour apart, and as longtime supporter, I'm praying to the Detroit Players for a J. Dilla collaboration. On page 72, senior editor Kimberly Wilson speaks to another Motor City native, TikToker Keith Lee, about his rapid rise to celebrity status through his work of uplifting mom-and-pop restaurants across the country. My D-Town brothers are doing all right, if I do say so myself. When I flip through this issue, I feel a deep sense of pride at the work that we've done. From the first-rate reporting, please be sure to read Ebony Flake's special report on home ownership, page 90, to the beautifully designed pages that hold these stories. We are officially one issue into a new but familiar look for Essence. The response to our fresh creative direction has been so positive, and for that, we thank you. Change is daunting and never easy, but time and time again, Essence continues to find its way into the homes and hearts of Black women. We love it here. The next article is titled, Pattern Power. After years of shaving my head, finally growing out my hair helped me fully accept myself. I remember the day I started middle school, walking through the hallways, feeling confident with my fresh haircut. Later, I noticed another student with curly hair similar to mine. As I approached him, a group of classmates began teasing him about his hair. After disturbing experiences, I promised myself I would not grow out my hair, even though my mom encouraged me to do so. I decided to get a haircut every 2 weeks to avoid being teased. I had already been bullied for having full lips. Adding curly hair to the mix would have made me an even bigger target. I did my best to fit in with the crowd. In Beyoncé's words, I was a people pleaser, doing anything to avoid mistreatment. I ignored any offensive comments made by others, and I was able to blend in with so many groups that sometimes my friends forgot that I was Black. But this only caused me to become even more estranged from my identity. I began to rediscover and embrace my Blackness when I was 16 years old. I hung out with diverse friend groups during my middle school and high school years. However, in my junior year, I found a group of friends who could relate to my experiences growing up. They were there for me during all my ups and downs. I could count on them for emotional support about everything from how I dressed to my sexuality. When I was in their presence, nobody dared to bully or tease me because my friends had my back. Although I used to watch shows like The Boondocks, The Bernie Mac Show, That's So Raven, and Sister Sister, I began to take a stronger interest in watching Black sitcoms as I approached my 20s. What I loved about shows like Moesha, Girlfriends, and Insecure is that the characters fully embraced their hair, inspiring me to do the same. Growing out my hair led me to discover my curls, and I was motivated to adopt a curly hair care routine. Over the years, I have experimented with various hairstyles, including different types of fades, diagonal, low-maintenance skin, high-top curly, and even a natural fade with a part. I soon realized that the fade look flatters my face and shape and highlights my high cheekbones. To complement the look, I decided to grow out my beard. This has helped me achieve a new and more stylish appearance, different from my usual good boy style. I sometimes opt for a high skin fade to keep my curls while maintaining a trendy and modern aesthetic. To maintain the health of my hair, I make sure to get a trim every time I go to the barbershop. As a man with thick 4C curly hair. I've tested hundreds of products, and I have to say, there's nothing like using brands that cater to Black needs. It feels like a true celebration of my Blackness with each and every pump. For my routine these days, I use TPH by Taraji Master Cleanse Scalp Wash to clean my scalp deeply. Next, I apply Black Luxury Sage and Lyshe Repair and Strength Hair Mask to prep my hair before washing and conditioning it with the Shea Moisture Coconut and Hibiscus Curl and Shine Shampoo and Coconut and Hibiscus Curl and Shine Conditioner. I let the conditioner sit on my hair during my shower, then rinse it off after cleaning my whole body. I also use the Esha Scalp and Shampoo Massager, which helps the shampoo penetrate deeply into my scalp. After showering, I let my hair dry and put on Tropic Isles Living Jamaican Black Castor Oil for extra nourishment. I finish it with Shea Moisture, Manuka Honey, and Ma Fora Oil Ultra Moisture and Nourish Oil, which adds gloss to my curls. For special occasions, I use the Pattern Styling Cream to set my curls in place. As I get older, I am appreciating my natural hair more and more. When we were young, we often fail to recognize how much our hair can impact our lives. I used to struggle with accepting my curls because popular media always seemed to depict people with long, straight hair as the ideal. But now I understand that I define my own beauty standards and can accept my hair for what it is without letting others' opinions affect me. Additionally, having more representation in the media and a wider range of Black-owned hair products to choose from has certainly helped me love my natural texture more and with it myself. I finally understand that my hair care routine is a part of my self-care practice. And my favorite part of this hair journey is that we get to experiment with the styles that no one else can achieve. That's true magic. The next article is titled Black Men's Wellness Day Highlights Urgent Healthcare Needs is from BlackEnterprise.com. On April 27th, the University of Houston hosted the second annual Black Men's Wellness Day, including a Save Black Men's Lives 5K walk, health screenings, and over 100 vendors that focused on health, wellness, and connecting Black men with social services organizations. As the Houston Chronicle reports, Black Men's Wellness Day is an attempt both in Houston and other cities to address disparities in healthcare for Black men. We are literally bringing the clinic to the community, said Jameel Johnson, Executive Director. Well, we have run out of time for today's episode of Essence. We hope you enjoyed it and be sure to listen next time. I am Avra Lewis, reading for the North Carolina Reading Service. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Essence is available as a podcast at our website, ncreadingservice.org. If you have any comments or questions, please call us at 919-832-5138. That number again is 919-832-5138. Thank you for listening to the North Carolina Reading Service.